Davina did not exist before this episode. What they are about to describe is happening across West Midlands as you listen. This is their story. Healthcare workers across Birmingham Hall Green and Moseley, one of the most deprived constituencies in the country, find themselves caught between desperate staffing needs and institutional barriers that treat nurse training as an unaffordable luxury rather than an essential investment in community health.
My name is Davina, and I've spent the last 13 years trying to become the nurse I knew I could be. Growing up in Sparkhill with my dad working nights at Cadbury's and my mum cleaning offices in town, I watched my gran struggle to get proper care in her final years. The nurses who did help her were overworked, understaffed, rushing between too many patients. I wanted to be different. I wanted to give people the time and attention they deserved. In 2011, I had just finished my A-levels at Joseph Chamberlain College when I applied for the nursing degree at Birmingham City University. I was 18, determined, and convinced this was my path. When I went for my campus visit, something felt wrong. The lecture halls I toured had empty seats scattered throughout, yet when I called to check on my application, they told me the course was full. "There is no funding for additional places," the admissions officer explained. It sounded reasonable at the time. "Universities have budgets. Courses fill up. I accepted it." I reapplied the following year and was accepted. Finally, I thought. 2 weeks before the course was due to start, they called again. Health Education England had reduced funding for training places. My offer was withdrawn. "We cannot afford to run that program at full capacity," they said. Again, it sounded like simple arithmetic. Less money means fewer places. I spent the next 3 years working as a healthcare assistant at Birmingham Heartlands Hospital, reapplying annually for the nursing course. Every shift, I saw the ward stretched thin, nurses covering too many patients, basic care delayed because there weren't enough hands. Yet every year, the same response: insufficient funding for training places. I started to wonder why the need for nurses and the inability to train them existed side by side. In 2016, I finally got onto the course, but had to defer immediately. The NHS bursary had been scrapped. Without that support, I couldn't afford the fees alongside rent and living costs. Another year lost. "The budget has been cut," the financial aid office told me when I asked about alternative support. "We cannot afford to subsidize training the way we used to." I took out loans and started in 2017. 3 years later, I graduated in 2020, right as the pandemic hit. You'd think the timing would be perfect. Newly qualified nurse entering a system crying out for staff. Instead, I faced the same wall I'd been hitting for nearly a decade. I applied for jobs across Birmingham's hospitals. The response from University Hospitals Birmingham NHS Foundation Trust was familiar. "There are no funded positions available at this time." I could see the wards were critically understaffed. The same nurses I'd worked alongside as a healthcare assistant were still there, still overwhelmed, still covering too many patients. "But there was no budget for new posts," they said. That's when I discovered something that changed how I understood the whole system. Walking past the old Queen Elizabeth Hospital Training Centre in Edgbaston one afternoon, I noticed the building looked oddly quiet. I asked a contact who still worked there what was happening to the simulation labs and training facilities. "They're just sitting there," she told me, "fully equipped, ready to use, but there's no budget to run courses." I started connecting dots I'd never connected before. My friend Suki, who'd trained in Stafford, was in exactly the same position as me, qualified, experienced, desperate for work, but unable to find a funded position. We weren't isolated cases. There were dozens of us across Birmingham, all with the same story. Meanwhile, the training facilities that could prepare even more nurses stood empty. If the people existed and the buildings existed and the equipment existed and the desperate need existed, what exactly was it that there was no money for? The government that prints pounds and issues them into circulation was telling us it couldn't find enough of those pounds to connect qualified nurses to understaffed wards. It was telling us it couldn't fund training programs in buildings that already existed, with equipment that was already purchased. I used to accept the excuse that there was no money. I hear it differently now. The government that prints the notes and mints the coins told me it could not find enough of them to train the people who were standing right there, ready to work. The real question was never about money. It was about whether the people existed, whether the skills could be taught, whether the materials were available. They were. All of them. The excuse was not a fact. It was a choice wrapped in the language of impossibility. It is the same logic as a household that says, we cannot afford it. Except a household does not issue its own currency. The government does. The limit was never the money. The limit was the willingness to spend it into the places and the people who needed it. What happened to me is happening right now in every constituency where qualified people and urgent needs exist side by side while someone in Westminster insists the cupboard is bare. The cupboard was never bare. It was locked.
What Davina experienced has a name. Fake experts. Throughout history, industries under scrutiny have deployed experts who present contested opinions as settled facts. Tobacco companies once cited doctors who claimed smoking was harmless. Pharmaceutical companies found researchers willing to downplay addiction risks. The pattern is always the same. Select voices that support your position, then present their views as universal scientific consensus. In healthcare workforce planning, fake experts operate by treating the household budget myth as economic law. They cite economists who claim government spending must be rationed like household income, as though repeating this analogy makes it true. When Davina was told economists say we cannot spend more on health without causing inflation, she was hearing this technique in action. Which economists? The profession is divided. Many macroeconomists argue the binding constraint is real capacity, meptum demasiae, not currency. Economists say, without naming them, is an appeal to unnamed authority. The UK government issues its own currency. It does not need to find pounds before it spends them. The real constraint is resources. People, skills, materials, time. In Davina's case, those resources were sitting idle. Qualified nurses seeking work, empty training facilities, desperate wards. The resources existed. The people existed. The decision not to connect them was political, not financial. Birmingham Hall Green and Moseley ranks 22 out of 543 English constituencies on the deprivation index, placing it in decile 1, the most deprived 10% nationally. English Indices of Deprivation 2025 MHCLG. The constituency has 2,382 registered charities, Charity Commission Register, England and Wales. Total grants received amount to £52.5 million, £360 giving grant NAV. All sources are published at blockedbritain.co.uk. Blocked Britain tells the stories of people whose lives are shaped by the gap between what Britain needs and what its institutions choose to provide. Every character is fictional. Every situation is drawn from official statistics, produced by Blocked Britain.